this episode of The Commercial Break.
You turn the hose off, no problems. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And he goes, and I got to admire the color of your pool right now. It's like, you got quite the horticultural exhibit going on in that pool. And then I wonder why when we tell them they can use the pool at any time they want to, they're like, we saw it a couple months ago. I don't know what magic trick you've pulled to make it magically clear now, but I saw the frogs in there. So then I told Astrid, I said, I don't know what we got to do, but we got to clean up that pool. It's just going to get worse. So I go to Home Depot. I think I know what to do. I'm just going to shock the shit out of the pool. So here's how
it
works.
The old shocker.
The old shocker. Give him the old shocker. One in the pink, two in the stick. Psh, psh, psh.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Look at us getting an episode in this week. Wow, so
we're
proud
of
us.
We're on top of things.
We're right on top of it. Hopefully we'll get some kind of regular schedule going on here again. A lot of things, a lot of moving parts here
Lots
at The Commercial Break.
Parts.
But that doesn't mean we don't love you, and it doesn't mean that we think any less of you. We're here. We're here. We're doing it. We're committed to it. We're just, the last couple weeks have been a little rocky, a little bumpy, a lot of traveling, a lot of stuff going on in everybody's personal lives. I have been, it's that time of year when I fight my pool, so I'm out there fighting my pool every day. Desperately begging it to come back to life. It's that fucking pollen, man. That's the thing. I got this tree, this huge oak tree, some kind of oak tree, and it sits right at the end of the pool. And I used to have two of them, but I cut one of them down.
Yeah.
And I really felt bad about it, actually. I had a little ceremony for the tree.
Yeah, you should have.
They were twin trees, but one of them was leaning toward the house, and they were choking each other out. And I was like, okay, only one of you is going to survive. I'm going to pick. And I just took one of them down. But the second one is a huge oak tree, and then it's got those yellow pollen polyps.
Everywhere.
Those little fucking things that fall off right before the leaves come, and they fall off, and they make the yellow pollen that is so synonymous with Atlanta this time of year.
Yeah.
It is just, I mean, a gust of wind blows, and you can see a patch of yellow smoke.
It's like a dust storm.
It's a dust storm.
A pollen storm.
It gets everywhere. It gets all the time, everywhere. And the only thing that solves the problem is the rain, but the rain then exacerbates more pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that pollen and all of those polyps fall directly in my pool. If it's in within a mile radius, it just somehow finds its way to my pool. And without fail, for the last 3 years, not the first 2 years, I don't know what's going on the first 2 years, I managed to stave off the pollen situation in my pool. But the polyps fall in the pool, then they get wet, they fall to the bottom, and it turns into just an algae bloom of epic proportions. The pool was as green as I have ever seen it. Green as an army jacket just 2 days ago. So I go, but I can't go to the store like I did last year and spend $1,200 in chemicals to then have it blow up the other way for 3 days.
That was a great story, like though, I have to say, last year.
Weird blue color. It just like blew up. It was like a bomb went off in the pool. I slowly watched a mushroom cloud fill the pool with a super dark, unnatural blue, and it stayed that way for days.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened?
You went back to that store.
I went back to that store like 30 times. I was like, dude, you told me. It's like, well, that's not good. I'm like, okay, you tested my water. You told me what to put in there. And what? How many bags did you put in there? 37 bags of salt and 22 water clarifiers and 44 dealgicides. And he's like, yeah, maybe our math was wrong on that. Let's do it again. Do it again. I just spent $1,000 with you. So this year I said, fuck that guy at the pool store. I know what to do.
Yeah, you do.
So I got a pool vacuum. It's a robot. You press the button. Robot goes up and down and back and forth. It's a little like a little friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Takes about 4 hours. It'll go the entire pool and it'll clean it. You got to clean out the basket every couple of hours if it's really dirty. And then you have the skimmers. Skimmers pull the stuff off the top of the water. But because the pool is so big, it takes 20 hours for the entire pool to be circulated. It's a big pool. It's not small.
It is.
And then now that all these pollen polyps have fallen at the bottom, the pool robot cannot keep up. I'm just taxing it. I'm asking it to do too much. I'm saying, go, little guy, go.
Like a car.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
rubbing the hood. Just, come on.
I was. I'm talking to it. Yeah, I'm unplugging it, plugging it back in. I'm asking it to go a million times. And it finally said, fuck you. After 6 years of being at the bottom of this pool, cold, hot, polyps, winter, algae blooms, I've decided, fuck you. I'm in retirement.
Yeah.
And the fucking thing just stopped working. Mm. And I kicked it and I took the screwdrivers to it and I knocked it against the wall and it just didn't want to work. So I was like, this is a real problem. And these things are expensive too.
Right.
They're like $1,200 also. Mm-hmm. Now, they last a couple of years if you treat them right, which I didn't. But okay, you're supposed to take it out after it's done. I don't. I just leave it in there all day, all night. It's freezing cold out there. The pool robot's out there doing its thing. So I'd say, all right, I cannot right now get a new pool robot. It's too expensive. It's just not in the cards for me. Listen, I can't do it. So I have to go back to the old vacuum, like the old, you buy a vacuum, and essentially what it is for a pool is it's a tube, and you stick the tube inside of one of the pool filters. So, you know, skimmers, you've seen them. They're pool skimmers. They're at the top of the water, yeah. and they're usually on the sides of the pool, and they suck in the water, and then they pull these things in. They pull whatever's on top of the water to the basket, and then you clean out the basket. That's how it works, right? Now, I've told you about pool mechanics. Now, you know you can go get your own pool. But if you pull the basket out, there's a little hole, half-inch hole. And you can take a hose and stick it into that half-inch hole, and then you can put a vacuum, stick the other side of the hose onto this little...
Like a real vacuum, or this is a special vacuum?
It's a special pool vacuum, okay. But it's really what it is. It's a piece of plastic with a hole at the bottom of it where you stick the hose at the top and then it's got a hole. So I would say if your normal vacuum is covering, you know, vacuum, like, you know, the kind you have on your carpet, has like 5-6 inches, maybe 10 inches wide of coverage. Mm-hmm. So, it takes time to cover the entire area of your floor, but you're going to get it done. It's like a lawnmower, right? If you have a riding lawnmower, you get a big area done. If you have a pushing mower, you get a small area done. This is 1.5 inch hole that you have to have directly over whatever it is you're trying to vacuum. And I have a 120,000 square foot pool. Okay? So I already know this is going to be a real nightmare, but I'm like, okay, I got to do it. I mean, it's just, I wake up one.
It's going to get worse and worse.
It's going to get worse. It's going to cost more money. The longer it goes, the more algae that blooms, the more that this thing turns green, the more money I'm going to have to spend on chemicals trying to get it right. And I have never once in the entirety of owning this pool gotten it right. I just don't know how to do it.
Dating all the way back to when you filled it up with the garden hose.
That's right. Which you're not supposed to do, apparently. No. But hey, listen, what did I know?
Every year you pay thousands of dollars to do this. Because what was your water bill that year?
It was $4,000, I think. It's $4,000 to fill up the pool.
And they called you.
They came to the door.
Yes.
The water guy was out in front of my house at the water meter, and he knocked on the door. I saw him out there, and I was like, what is he doing? But, you know, it's the city, and it's their water meter, and I figured he'd just check in it. You know, I don't know. And then I, hey, we got an alert on our rain guard system. And I was like, oh, what's that? And he's like, well, anytime someone's water is running for an immense amount of time, it sends a signal to us, like a bat signal through the
Wi-Fi. Which is good.
It's great, yeah. And I came in yesterday, it gave me yellow warning. I came in today, it's flashing hot red. Brian's house.
Greenhouse.
Immediately, all water is leaving. Basically, you drained the entirety of the water tower, and now we're having trouble with the pressure in the other houses. So I'm just here wondering, what the fuck is going on? I said, I don't know. I got a pool. You got a pool? Yeah, I got a pool. What you doing with that pool? I'm filling it up. With what? A hose? A garden hose? I said, yeah. He goes, well, how big is the pool? I said, well, come on back, take a look. It's like 2/3 of the way filled by then. And he's like, Jesus H. Christ. That's where all the water went. It went from the tower into your pool. That's what it did. How many gallons is that? I don't know. I figure about 120,000. Well, the water tank only got 70 in it, so I figured we got to fill it up twice, get your pool filled. You know, you can call the fire department and have them put one of them hoses in there. It'll probably be done in a couple minutes. I said, I did not know that. Yeah, and it's free. Oh, well, all right. Well, so when the bill came, so he told me, he said, when the bill comes, yeah, you come on down to yonder and you talk to old Cindy Lou down there and she'll help you out. And she did. She was like, okay, one time credit. And yeah, I think I ended up paying $400 for the $4,000 worth of water.
One time dum-dum credit.
Never to make that out. Because honestly, if I thought that I could convince the fire department every year to come out, I would just drain it and refill it.
Yeah.
But there's an unintended consequence. Well, here's the thing.
What about the cover?
Yeah, they're dangerous. That's the problem. They're dangerous, and the size of my pool, they don't make them just like, you have to get a custom one done.
Okay, gotcha.
And so the ones that are safe, like really safe, like mm-hmm. the ones you can walk on and you and it would just stay there, I have the anchors for them, but I would have to get it custom made, and that in and of itself is extremely expensive, and it does not prevent... you're still going to have a ton of shit fall on that cover, and you're going to have to clean it, right? So there's like one... Yeah. It's problem after problem, and there's no solution, and there's nothing good happens. So we're about to go to my dad's house for Saturday, the day before Easter, and it's Friday, and I'm out on a phone call, and I notice the pool's low on water. The very green pool is low on water, but you can't have it go too low because then the skimmer starts stuck in air, and then your water breaks. And it's a whole thing. So I know that every couple, probably once a week, I put about half an inch of water in the pool. It takes me an hour to put in that half an inch of water. That's how big the fucking pool is. So I throw the hose in there. I turn it on.
Which is really fun in the summer.
it's the best in the summer when there's no leaves falling, when I pay somebody in the summer to come keep the chemicals managed so that, you know, I don't kill my children with some kind of encephalitis that I'm growing in the bottom of the pool. So I stick the hose in, and then I'm on the phone call, and then everyone's in a rush to get out to go to dad's house. And so I get in the car and I go, and I get halfway up there and I'm thinking to it's like leaving the iron on, right? Oh, I'm like, oh, fuck. Because 2 years ago, I did the exact same thing.
God.
And I totally forgot about it.
Oh, my God.
And I came back home, and I could hear, like, I opened the door, and I could hear, I could hear that the water was running somewhere, right? And I was like, well, that's weird. Maybe the water heater. It took me about another hour to look out back of the house and see that the hose was stuck in the pool. The emergency valve could not handle all the water that was going in there. So the pool was to the very, very tippy top. And just like your bathtub, there is an emergency hole. There's a little tiny hole. And it is a pipe that goes out to a little... I call it a riverbed. It's a bunch of river stone that we put down there.
Okay.
And so when the kids are in there and it's splashing, the extra water goes down there and it runs down the back into my neighbor's yard. So the one time that I have drained the pool, which is when I owned it, when the very first time when we were going to get it renovated and we had to drain.
Yeah.
That was the worst I've ever... There were frogs living in the pool. Frogs and fish living in the pool. You think I'm joking? I'm not. It was a frog pond. That's exactly... And I don't know how fish...
I've seen those on shows before.
Yeah. And I don't know how the fish got there, but there were fish in there. Fish. They fly? Do the fish fly? Do they walk? Do they flip and flop over? I don't know. But we found a fish in there. So I think somebody threw it in there. I think they were, you know, being smart.
Yeah.
So the one time that we drained the pool was the very first time I got it. And when we drained the pool... I had no house over the pool equipment. The pool equipment was very old, and we had no clue what we were doing. And the guy who was coming to renovate the pool said, the only thing I need you to do is drain the pool. All you got to do is take this cap off the back and start the motor, and it's just going to spit it out. And I said, oh, okay. Like, I was on the phone with him, and I don't think I listened to him quite the way I should have. I said, yep, cap. Motor, got it,
take
turn
off
it
cap.
On, go, take yeah. off cap. Take off cap, turn on motor, and wouldn't you know it, just water just comes pouring out the back. I had no river stone, I had no river rock, I just had a slope down into my neighbor's backyard. So 6 hours later, I had the neighbor
knocking
on my back door. And I was like, who's that guy? And I opened the sliding glass door, and he goes, hey, man, nice to meet you. I know you're new in the neighborhood, but you're causing a real problem in my backyard. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, you're draining the pool or whatever you're doing. He goes, I got a half an inch of water on my grass back there. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I didn't realize. So I go run out there. I turn it off. And I swear to God, half an inch of water. It looked like rice fields. I was... we're both going back there, and he's like, I work real hard to try and keep, and he goes, and listen, I don't think I'd be so bothered. I think I'd be more bothered if this water wasn't like natural water. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, well, clearly it's got no chlorine in it. Look at the color. It's just rainwater. And I was like, fair point.
Yeah.
That's fertilizer. I'm fertilizing your grass.
Right, right.
So what the guy told me was, please, the pool guy, so when I tell the pool guy this, he's like, yeah, dude, I told you. Turn it on for an hour, turn it off for 2 hours. Turn it on for an hour, turn
sense.
It off for two yeah. hours. It's going to take you a whole day. You got to do this, because if you don't, you're just going to dump 70,000 gallons of water into your neighborhood. I don't think anybody wants that. Well, I probably dumped 35 of the 70 gallons into my neighbors. Anyway, so I call
the
Justice.
Pool stories.
I know. So now fast forward to this Saturday. Can't remember whether or not I turned off the hose. Remembering the last time I put the hose in there in a day and a half, and I caused another drama in the back of my neighbor's yard. And luckily, I don't think he was home because he never came over, but I saw it. It was a lot of fucking water in his backyard. That's like turning the hose on and just leaving it in your neighbor's backyard for two fucking days. Yeah. That's it. That was also a hell of a water bill, by the way. And no credit for that one. No credit for moron. Okay.
No, they gave you the credit once.
So I get halfway up to my dad's, and I'm like, fuck, I can't remember. I think I did. So I get up to dad's, and I text Justice, my neighbor, and I say, hey, man, do me a favor. Can you run over and check? He says, yeah, I'll go over there right now. And, you know, Justice responds. He's like, well, you turned the hose off. No problems. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And he goes, and I got to admire the color of your pool right now. It's like, you got quite the horticultural exhibit going on in that pool. And then I wonder why when we tell them they can use the pool at any time they want to, they're like, we saw it a couple months ago.
Good.
I don't know what magic trick you've pulled to make it magically clear now, but I saw the frogs in there.
Right.
Yeah. So then I told Astrid, I said, I don't know what we got to do, but we got to clean up that pool. It's just going to get worse. So I go to Home Depot. I think I know what to do. I'm just going to shock the shit out of the pool. So here's how
it
works.
The old shocker.
The old shocker. Give him the old shocker. One in the pink, two in the stick. Psh, psh, psh. So you can go and you can buy something called Shock. And that's
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's just a bag.
You tried that last year, didn't you?
The problem was I added the shock with a bunch of other chemicals, and the chemicals started working against each other. Caused a science experiment in my pool. There's like smoke coming off the water. I swear to God. I read about it online. It was like, you know, stay out.
Burning.
Yeah, it's like burning my eyes. I'm like, I put lye in there. I put fucking lye in the pool. With dealgifier, with some other stuff that algifies, with chlorine. I just put a toxic soup of chemicals. I'm surprised anybody survived swimming in that pool last year. But hey, 6 weeks later, it was perfectly clear. So I say, all right, so I know I got a job. I know one little bag of shock is supposed to make your pool, supposed to make 20,000, up to 20,000 gallons of water clear and clean and ready to swim in 15 minutes. But that's when the pool is kind of like at a baseline, right? Not when it's completely dark green, hunter green. So I'm like, let me get a box of this stuff, which is like 10 bags, right? So I get 10 bags of shock, a box. I have my pool broom.
Right.
You can brush the algae off, and it'll come off the bottom or the sides of the pool in kind of like a fog. It'll make the pool foggy. And here's, in principle, what's supposed to happen. You put the shock in there. The shock eats the algae, kills the algae, right?
Yeah.
And this process, when it happens, turns like a turquoise blue, like the blue of the ocean, like the bluest blue you've ever seen of the ocean. That's not a natural
beautiful blue.
That's not a natural color that happens in swimming pools. It's not supposed to. You're really just supposed to be clear, like to be able to see the bottom.
Yeah,
it's not supposed to add any color. So I go around the pool and I'm pouring all these bags in. Then I sweep up the sides of the pool, you know, which takes like an hour, is quite the workout. And then I take a look, and this thing is just like neon blue, neon blue. It's lighting half the neighborhood. The sun is out, but the pool's, it's actually emanating light. It's eating so much algae. It's like on fire, the turquoise blue fire. And I'm like, wow, is that supposed to happen? So I asked chat. Yeah. And Chad's like, nah, not really. No. You know, I don't know what you're doing, but you know, I can't test water, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know what's happening in there. So I look at the, so I get one of those test strips.
You know.
I have those, I don't know what they mean, but, you know, I put them in there and match it up to the thing, thinking I know.
I have those for drinking water, but yeah.
Yeah. So the chlorine level, the hard chlorine level is that, you know, red is the highest level. It's like a dark brown. It's beyond chlorinated. And Astrid comes out and she's like, well, it looks better. And I go, I think it went the other direction.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it.
The water.
Yeah. Get your goggles on, hon. Keep the kids inside.
The eclipse glasses. Yeah.
Close the window. Don't turn on the air conditioner. So I'm out there sweeping, and then I'm trying to vacuum all the shit from the bottom. And I will tell you what, I have never had more problems with one single. It's just a pipe. It's just a pipe that sucks water that you're supposed to then put on the bottom of the pool and suck all the junk up. But when the junk gets sucked up, it goes into a separate basket in the pool equipment that then you have to clean out, right? It's like a catcher.
Yeah.
It's the emergency catcher. In a normal situation, the pool baskets catch most of the junk, and then the emergency catcher catches the remainder of the junk. And then if all else fails, it goes into your Jandy filter, which is this big thing.
Jandy filter.
Yeah, it's got these like filters on them, like these. There's no other way to put it except like a filter you would put on your heater or your HVAC.
Yeah.
Except they're like tightly wound and put in these like cylinders, these 3.5 feet tall cylinders. There's four of them in there. Water, all the water gets poured in there, and then the water gets sucked through these filters and then back into the pool. So all else fails, it's just supposed to stop anything from going in the pool. But the thing is that the filters themselves can get dirty, and every 6 months you have to clean them.
Chrissy,
I cleaned them 3 times just yesterday.
Oh,
that's
God.
How fucking dirty this pool
is.
Wow. You're supposed to clean them every 6 months. I cleaned them 3 times in a fucking day. In a day. I hate this pool with all my might. The pool and Blue hold equal places in my heart. They are awful. Awful. I don't know what to do. And so now it's just a bright blue out there. It's just...
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, it's
check it out
bright
before.
Blue. I don't know what to do.
It went from army green to bright blue.
To bright blue. To like literally this bright, unnatural blue. And I don't know what to do.
Right. You don't know how to counter it. Like if you put too much salt in something, then you can add like a little
base.
Starchy,
and then
flour or something. Yeah.
But you just like, this is not baking. This is 70,000 gallons of water.
Yeah.
So my inclination is just to buy more shock and shock the shit out of it. Yeah, I know.
Might have been too much. Well,
the problem is that chlorine will stay in your pool. I have a salt. I have a filter, like a salt cell. So it shocks the water to make more chlorine. So the more chlorine I put in there, the more chlorine I get. It's like an amplifier for chlorine.
Oh, God.
So I don't know what to do. So Astrid, this morning I come in and Astrid's doing like a household budget. She's like, how much is a pool guy?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Exactly.
And I go, why? And she goes, because let's get the pool.
Let's do the pool guy.
Yeah.
Stop fucking around.
Figure out how to get another robot and let's get the pool. That seemed to be working well last year. But you can't figure it out. She was like, I'll go out there and vacuum. And I go, honey, it's not that I don't believe you can do the vacuuming.
I don't
it's
want the, you
this
to.
This is a dangerous
process.
Yeah. You're working with high pressure pumps and water that is clearly not okay. And animals that, I don't know. The other day I was watching the birds were swerping down and drinking the water.
Oh.
Like in a bird bath. You know, we've all seen bird bath water. That's basically what my pool was. Bird bath water.
Oh,
they were swooping down and drinking the water. Before I put the shock in it. Yeah, they were so happy. They were like, oh, look at this.
Thank you.
The squirrels. There's like a whole Disney movie going on outside.
You had the frog last time that was,
Every year we get a couple frogs that just make a home in the pool. Uh-huh. And I got to run around with the net trying to catch them. They're fast little fuckers.
They are.
They know how to swim underwater. Yeah. I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to maneuver the thing. So you got to kind of corner them and then just hope they jump out. But... one year, I had a whole thing with a frog. I would get him out, and I'd put him out in the back of the yard, and he'd two minutes later, he'd bounce right back in the water. This went on like 6 times. It was like a show. We were doing a cartoon in my backyard. So finally, I had to walk him down the street and put him out on the side of the road. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but what else was I to do?
But you should have tossed him into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, well, I did at one point. And he found his way under the fence and came back. He knew what he wanted. He's like, fuck you. I was here first. Remember when the pool was green? Yes. That was my family. I own this pool.
Exactly.
He's coming back. He's like, Native Americans returning to the reservation. That's my land, you fucktard.
Right.
I want that back. All right. We'll take a break. And, yeah, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Best to you, best to you, best to you, best to you.
How that song just ends like that.
Oh, it does.
I don't know why it cuts off like that. It's a little weird. It's a little picadillo about that particular song as it just ends. I don't know if it, whatever. Anyway, Kanye West is an
denied
idiot.
entry into the UK.
Yeah.
And now that whole festival's been canceled.
Yeah, the whole festival's been canceled.
Which is a big deal. I mean, I've seen with Jeff every year putting on these festivals. It's a lot of work.
How do you announce the announcement? How do you... I mean, I guess you just refund everybody the tickets and you pay your fines from the certain companies, the venue and the all the people you hired to do all the stuff, the porta potties. I mean, there must be well, here's the thing is that it actually wasn't canceled because the festival didn't want Kanye to play. It was canceled because Kanye was denied entry into the UK based on his clear anti-Semitism. He's like online bragging about how he sold, you know, $20 million worth of swastikas.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's mentally ill, and I don't want to make fun of mentally ill people because I know a few myself. I might be one of them.
We all are to some degree.
But I know the difference between right and wrong. And I know the difference between, you know, saying things that are like, there are just some things you just don't think and you just don't say.
He just recently, I read that he took out some full page ad and
he said he was sorry.
Paper saying, I'm sorry. That must have been somehow tied to all of this. But the UK still just said, nope.
Yeah. No, they said, no, we're not doing it. The Keir Starmer said, no, you're not allowed in. The government voted or they did whatever. They revoked the passport or the visa, whatever it was. And I think that's the right call. Listen, we are going to have to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Yeah.
And unlike the United States, Keir Starmer has some balls and willing to do it.
Right.
Like, you know, there's just some stuff that we just have to say as a society that we're not willing to accept. And your one page apology in LA Weekly is not enough. You have to show a pattern of being humbled and apologetic. And the truth is that he can still make millions of dollars. He just did two, three shows in LA.
I can't even believe the demand.
$35 million Live Nation paid him to do those two shows. $35 million. Where's the outrage at Live Nation?
Yeah.
Where's the outrage at Live Nation? There's no Jewish people that work at Live Nation. I mean, like, there's no, like, reasonable, sane human being. It's just about the almighty dollar. And I realize a corporation is not a person and does not have morals, and it is only driven by the people who are inside the organization willing to make tough decisions, even when it costs them money.
But there are people that are in the process.
People. Yes, that's right. I mean, but they don't give a shit. They just want to make the fucking money. And listen, I don't care how good Kanye, you think Kanye West is. He's got a few good songs. Great. But I just think he just took it. He just went
way too far.
And you can say he was trolling or he was mentally ill or whatever. Great. Go get help. Do the thing that everybody does when they clearly are having a problem.
Yes.
And that is go work on yourself and then come back and explain to us all what happened and say your apologies and let us make a decision then whether or not you are worthy of my $185 to see you from the 155th row of SoFi Stadium. But, you know, these people who booked him in the festival, they should have known better in the first fucking place. Yeah. They should have known better. I mean, it's just a dumb thing to do. And listen, I don't have anything against Kanye West personally, except for the fact that he's a terrible human being the last couple of years.
He's displayed horrible behaviors.
Yes, yeah. Horrible behaviors. Chumming up to some of the worst people in the world, amplifying some of the worst sentiments in the world and conspiracy theories and all this shit. He's fucking out of control, that Kanye West. And we shouldn't be awarding him with yet more money and more riches.
Wasn't he just in court, too, with the contractor from his house? You know, he totally just left that thing. He bought that house and was
across the street from
doing all kinds of stuff to it, and then I think he just totally left it and didn't pay people. Yeah. So I mean,
that adds up. That adds up. Him and all of his buddies. Donald Trump's known for doing that.
Yeah,
that too. It's festival season, and just like to get away from Kanye West just for a second. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into those festivals. Yeah. Having put on, you know, my own Mountain Jam festival myself. I know that there's logistics involved that are
tons
of logistics just to have 100 people half naked up on the top of a mountain listen to shitty music for a day. I mean, I know that there's lots of logistics that go into this. You have to think about a lot of things, pay a lot of people, sign a lot of contracts.
Get the sponsors. Yes. I mean, that's another thing with all this. I think that's kind of what started it, right? One of the sponsors pulled out.
PayPal, Pepsi, and Diageo. They all canceled
Diego. Jeff's friend.
I know. I don't know why I think that every time. Diageo, Pepsi, PepsiCo, and then PayPal, they all pulled out of the festival after Kanye was announced.
And I mean, that's a big deal. You can't run the festival without getting the sponsors. You really can't, unless somebody's just funding it.
Yeah, I mean, like people might think, oh, 500,000 people are going to show up. Ticket sales typically cover some of the cost.
Yeah.
When you have someone like Kanye, you might be paying him $5-6 million just to do an hour of music.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unusual, right? Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I heard this somewhere in the universe between you and I, that Pearl Jam was asking for like $5 million to play for about an hour and a half or something like that on one of their festivals. Well, guess what? All the ticket sales in the world are not going to cover Pearl Jam plus Kanye plus, you know, Dave Matthews plus Counting Crows plus
Diplo.
I'm going to Coachella to see Diplo. It's not going to cover all of the Crash Test Dummies. I mean, when you're trying to get Crash Test Dummies in there, you got to have a good $30, $40, $100 in your account to do that. But you do that times these big festivals, do that times 30 or 40.
Yeah.
Where they're paying, they might outlay $50 million, $60 million just for the talent. And that doesn't include any of the infrastructure.
Coachella, for sure, has to put that out.
Oh, yeah. And so that's why Coachella is like $500 for a base ticket, $1,000 for a base ticket, is because they have activations, but they tend not to have like big overarching sponsors. At least they didn't at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they charged it straight to the people who are showing up. You've got to, because that's where you make your money, on these sponsorship deals, on selling alcohol, on selling merch, on, you know, Budweiser will come in and pay you $1 million to sell, you know, their beer at the festival, and they'll set up all the infrastructure there. It's a weird, wacky, wild world, and these festivals keep getting bigger, and it's harder and harder to make money doing them.
Yeah.
And you can exit times 10. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to X your profit times 10 if you make any profit at all. Look at Bonnaroo. I know Bonnaroo probably turns a profit almost every year, right? And even on the years it rains, because they cash in on the rain insurance. But, you know, Even a festival like Bonnaroo that is tried and true, that is really the OG big time 3-day, you know, festival mm-hmm. with big names out there. For years, they were not making money doing that festival.
You don't.
They were being propped up by investors and people who just had a lot of money and were willing to see it through mm-hmm. until Live Nation came in and bought it. And, you know, now it's a kind of a different animal. They can stuff it in a line and say, oh, we lost a couple $1 million. But, you know, the name Bonnaroo means enough to our ticket sales, or we're making enough off service.
Yeah, if you want to have a quality festival that people want to return to each year, you got to put money into it.
You got to put money into it.
It's not just about the talent.
Yeah. So now imagine this, and you probably can confirm this. You got $50 million worth of outlay for bands, right? Let's say that at least 10% of that is due upon signing, right? Mm-hmm. No band in the world is just going to show up and trust that you're going to pay them. It's due on signing. When you sign the contract, maybe a year before the festival even happens, right? As soon as the festival 25 is over, you're signing for 2026.
Yeah,
because that's how it goes. And then you're going to, let's take Pearl Jam, for example. All right, Pearl Jam's going to go play Mempho. They're not, but I'm just saying, an example. Yeah. Pearl Jam's going to go play Mempho. Jeff gets done with Mempho 2025. He's already in negotiations with the talent management with Pearl Jam for 2026. Shortly after 2025 is over, Pearl Jam says, yes, we'll play. And Jeff puts in his contract, great. You're not going to play another festival within mm-hmm. 500 miles.
Yeah, there's a radius clause.
Yeah, a radius clause or 2 weeks. And that's that. So now Pearl Jam is locked in. That's their date. They're going to make $5 million in that 2 weeks. And they've taken themselves off the market for 500, 600 miles, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. 1,000 miles. I don't know. So they've taken themselves off the market. And Jeff goes ahead and pays them a $500,000 deposit upon signing. And then the moment that Pearl Jam shows up on the property, they are due the other $4,500,000. Right. And if you don't have that check in your hand,
they're not playing.
And that's just a fact. And there are so many stories out there about mm-hmm. festivals where, you know, promoters are rushing to get somebody a check, you know, last minute, or someone has to be shuffled in the order because they weren't paid on time or whatever. Yep. All that money has to be outlaid ahead of time, not after you sell all the tickets. You can't hedge your bet like that. You have to be well-funded in the sense that you have to pay a bunch of money out front. You think the staging company is going to take your word for it that you'll get paid mm-hmm. later? Nope. Got to put a 50% deposit down and then pay us the other 50% after we wrap up, or however the deals are arranged. So when you have a festival like this where Yee's playing, or whatever the fuck his name is now, Yee's playing, everybody's going to show up. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people. That's tens of millions of dollars that you better have in your pocket and you better be ready to pay. So when they cancel a concert like this, there's at least millions of dollars that will never be seen again. At least someone's losing millions of dollars. And I don't think insurance is going to cover it. Or maybe they do. Maybe.
I don't know how that works. I'd have to ask Jeff about that, because, I mean, if literally the artist was allowed into the country to play at the festival, I don't know.
There's got to be some kind of insurance that covers that, right?
I guess you don't pay Kanye anymore, too.
Oh, certainly you're getting your money back from Kanye. Yeah, I can't imagine that. Well, I'm sure there'll be a big legal fight about that, too. He probably got paid something.
This is crazy.
It is crazy. But, I mean, he's got enough fucking money. He's got paid $35 million to do two or three shows in LA, and if they're sold out and people are paying thousands of dollars to see him, fucking cares? Who fucking cares? Honestly, you know what you should do? Take that money and go see Project Hail Mary. It was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah,
it was good.
We got some free tickets.
It's getting good reviews.
Someone, 97% Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
That's big. Yeah, it was. So one of Astrid's friends, knowing that we don't have a pot to piss in, said, hey, I've got these free tickets to go see Project Hail Mary, and if you want to use them, you're welcome to do it. And Gustavo and LA were in town, so we had some babysitters. And so they were like movie passes, and you could just mm-hmm. go use them, right? Mm-hmm. And Astrid said, what do you want to go see? And I said, I don't know. What's out there? She said, Project Hail Mary. I said, yeah, I like that Ryan Gosling guy, and I've seen the commercials, and it looks good. I don't know what the fuck it's about. A little spider alien.
Space
movie.
Yeah.
So let's talk about space movies. Let's take a break and we'll talk
in
about
honor
space
of a
movies.
Slingshotting
That's
around
right.
the moon.
That's going to be a good
cool
segue
thing.
To talk about a slingshot around the moon. We'll take a break. We'll take a break and we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief.
Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Yeah, boy. So we get these free tickets from the lady, and she says, go out and have a good time. Treat yourself. Be young again, is what she says. So I asked her tonight.
Kids go have
we
fun.
We did. We split a popcorn and a soda pop. And
those popcorns are huge, even the small.
Goddamn, dude. And they're fucking expensive, man. I mean, we got free tickets and ended up spending $38 anyway.
I took my nephews to the movies a little while back, and it was crazy. I was like, what? Okay.
We got this movie theater up here. It mainly plays family movies and like old run movies. Yeah. Kind of like a dollar theater, but not really a dollar theater. But if you go before 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday, the movie tickets are $7.50 for kids, $9 for adults, and then it's reasonable. Like, the snacks are reasonable.
You can take a family.
Yeah, I go to AMC, and it's like the only option for popcorn I have is one size, and it's $17.99. Mm-hmm. And it's like $17.99. I really don't need that much popcorn.
Right.
And then, of course, we eat the entire popcorn.
I know. That's the thing you end up eating it all. It's so hard to put down.
I know. Astrid said this, and it's right.
I don't like the butter on it either. Their butter.
It's already
buttered.
Yeah, it's already buttered. Let it be buttered. And it stinks. That butter stinks.
Yeah,
what do they put in
like
there?
It all
cheese? I like that ranch stuff you can put on there. Like, you can get the little
seasoning.
Ranch shakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now they charge $10 for those things, too. You used to be able to do that for free. Now they get you. They get you. You get a little. Now I'm taking condiments, you know. I got a spice rack I'm bringing into the movie theater.
Right.
It's fucked up.
Sneaking in ranch.
Yes. I'm sneaking in my ranch salt. So, and Astrid said something that's absolutely true, is that the M&Ms, the peanut M&Ms at the movie theaters are hands down the best peanut M&Ms anywhere in the world. And I don't know why.
I love a good peanut M&M.
I don't know if they make them differently for the movie theaters, but they just taste different and they're just better. I don't know. She's right. I agree.
You're in the dark eating them.
Yeah, you're in the dark. You're eating them.
Nobody's watching you.
The bag is different. You know, it's not that cheapy plastic bag. It's like a real, you know.
Carton.
It's like a real, this is going to end up in the ocean and never degrade bag. You're like, oh, this is good. None of that fucking recyclable bullshit. So we go, and 6 o'clock movie time, 6:30 the movie starts for a 6 p.m. showing.
Oh, I realized this as well when I took my nephew's. Yes, 30 minutes.
Out of control. Yes. Now, I love the trailers. I honestly love watching the trailers.
That's even only like 15 minutes. The rest of it is just other stuff.
Well, no, this was 30 minutes of trailers.
Okay.
In front of Project Hail Mary.
I think I was seeing like commercials.
No, there was maybe one commercial, maybe two. Maybe there was like a PepsiCo and then Nicole Kidman, you know, talking about how she loves the movies.
That's right.
But the rest of it was previews. We saw a Star Wars preview for the Grogu movie. We saw the Dune preview, which I was really excited about.
Oh, yeah, you love Dune.
And then a couple of other ones I can't recall. But I am very excited about Dune coming this December, Part 3. It looks very good. It's just such a great series of movies. And I can't wait till the final part. But anyway, so then 6:30 it starts. It's a 2.5 hour long movie. So we get there at 6. We're not leaving till 9 o'clock. It's a long time to be sitting in the chair, even though they have those comfortable chairs. This movie was excellent. It was excellent. Now, I think they probably could have shaved 30 minutes off of the movie here or there, right?
Yeah.
And just like found some scenes that are like not a little non-congruent to the story. And this movie, while a space movie, is really a movie about friendship.
Mm.
That's exactly what it is. It's a movie about the friendship that Ryan Gosling and his alien buddy strike up in the middle of space trying to save the sun from being eaten by little bugs.
Oh.
I mean, it's a far-fetched idea. But apparently, Project Hail Mary is such a popular book that it's like one of the top audiobooks ever sold.
Oh, really?
They had the guy who did the audio, like the reading of the audio, they had him do a prelogue to the movie. Because I guess his voice is so popular doing this movie. I don't fucking know. But anyway, maybe he did like the alien voice or whatever. The alien, I come to find out, in this movie is actually a puppet and not CGI. So this was being puppeteered by someone, and the puppeteer also did the voice of the alien, which is not speaking. It's making a series of noises.
Grunts. Right?
Grunts. You know, and then Ryan Gosling's character figures out how to translate, you know.
Okay.
And they're up there for years. I don't know, so long they're up there, and it's day after day, and, you know, the alien ends up being like a really annoying roommate, like a blue, essentially. Always on top of Ryan, never letting him be, you know, running around, causing problems. It's like a little comedy character, right? But it's the fucking cutest little thing. And it ends up becoming a movie about friendship and sacrifice and what you do for a friend.
Yes.
And that ends up being a real tearjerker in the end. I'm not going to give away. You go see it. You figure it out.
Yeah,
right?
No, I want to see it.
But it's a real tearjerker in the end. My wife was crying for the last 15 minutes of the movie. I even found myself.
It was just so sweet.
With some tears. It was sweet. It was tugging at your heartstrings at times. It felt very sad at others. And then it was sweet. Like, you know, all those emotions wrapped up along with the big swooping music. And, you know, it just ended up being a well put together movie. No one else could have played this character except for Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
I'm sure of it. And whoever did the puppeteering, whatever his name is, he's like a Sesame Street guy, whatever. He is really fucking good in this, playing essentially a rock with legs. That's what it is. It's a rock with legs. The character doesn't even have a face. It just it sees things through sonar.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a face. It's got like a series of sensors. I don't know how to say it, but he's an alien. What do you want me to do? I can't. It's a hard time describing. It's a spider rock. It's a rock spider. I don't know, whatever it is. And he communicates through clicks and noises. He's a rock spider. That's what he is. Go look at the trailer. You can see it, right?
Okay.
And it's just really well done. It's got 97 on Rotten Tomatoes, and every
you
bit
agree.
Deserves. I agree 100%.
Okay.
I think we could have cut a few minutes
Brian,
off of it.
Two thumbs up.
Brian gives it two boners. Yeah. That's it.
two bones
yeah,
up?
I give it a full hard on. That's what I give it. A full hard on and two testicles. I give it the full shaft.
Nice.
That's
okay.
It.
That's
no softy
highest.
Here. Yeah, no half hard. No softy. No any. No cold water any. This one's a full
hard on.
20-year-old hard on.
Okay.
That's right. Yes.
Strong.
That's right. That's math class. That's high school math class boner on this one, for sure. I loved it. I thought it was great. And maybe the kids can see it. You know, there's not a lot of cussing. There's nothing to be concerned about. It's just, it's complicated when certain things happen. I think they might be scared or whatever. They wouldn't catch it, or they might be a little nervous about some stuff. Actually, they got so excited. I have these magazines from 10 years ago. I don't know. It's called the 100 Greatest Science Fiction Movies by Time. And there's another magazine, you know, the Disney World, whatever. And in both of those magazines, they dedicate a couple of pages to the movie E.T., Lucasfilms
so good.
And Steven Spielberg and E.T.
Mm-hmm.
And so my kids get this thing in their head a couple of weeks ago, last week, whenever it was. They have to see E.T. They want to see E.T. And I said, well, I don't know. Because we all know that while E.T., an extremely cute family movie, is horrifyingly scary at points. It just
true.
Is. It's just Steven Spielberg... I think he's at the top of his powers, right? And it's like maybe a boxer with a punch too strong, just doesn't know how strong he is, and he punches above his weight, and he's trying to make this kid's movie, but he takes it a little bit too – he hits a little bit too hard sometimes with E.T. And there are parts that are hard to understand that deal with life and death and that are just scary. You just don't understand. Tell me it didn't fucking scare the shit out of you when you were a kid and saw an entire house wrapped in plastic. It's big scary men with space helmets on taking care of dying E.T. and Ellie.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
It's scary. So I show my kids a couple of trailers, a couple of scenes in the movie on YouTube, and I say, and they're like, yeah, let's see it. Let's do it. And so we all sit down, except for my youngest. We all sit down last week and we turn it on. And we probably didn't get an hour into that movie before one of my kids was hiding under the couch.
Yeah.
And the other kid was like, I don't think I want to watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
It's a hard
there
time understanding.
There is a little sweet spot as far as the age.
I think, you know, 8 or 9 maybe might be that sweet spot where you can understand. And you can understand it's not, in fact, real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at it now through the eyes of however old I am, when you look at it through my eyes, it's clear that E.T. is a really terrible puppet. You know what I'm saying? It's not like particularly impressive puppet. Even though they try to jazz it up with a little bit of CGI, still some of the...
And a scarf and a hat.
Yeah, and a scarf and a hat. And little Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
It's just adorable in that movie.
I know.
She really is. Yeah. What's her name? Tootie or Rudy? Or
something like that.
I can't remember her name. Anyway, she was cute as a button. But E.T. is, you know, it's just a great movie. Astor and I were talking about as we were leaving last night, it's like all these space movies from Apollo 13 to, you know, Project Hail Mary to Inception to, oh no, not Inception, Interstellar to, I mean, all these movies, Contact, they're all so fucking fantastic. There is something about aliens and space that make a good storyline, a good base for a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so you walk into Project Hail Mary. And you think you're going to see a space movie, and what you end up seeing is just a movie.
Did
about
Spielberg
friendship.
Do Project Hail Mary? Or
no.
He's coming out, I think, with another.
He's got
sci-fi
another
one or space.
Yes. Oh, that's the other trailer that we saw. It's
okay.
called Discovery Day, Disclosure Day.
Disclosure
it's a Disclosure Day.
Okay.
Wow, does that look wild? I mean, the trailer was. I didn't understand a fucking thing about the trailer, and it was wild. Some of the visuals that were in that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I was like. Holy shit. I mean, listen, Steven Spielberg, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. He's a mainstream director. He's probably the best
dependable.
That ever lived. Yeah, him and Coppola and
Lucas.
Well, Lucas had a short run, but he had a good run. He had a short run, but he had a good run. Then he tried to revamp his own Star Wars and ended up being real shitty. But you know, Francis Ford Coppola, you think of...
Although, did you see that? What was the one that he just did?
Oh, sorry.
You got a call coming.
Yeah, I got a call coming in. I should probably turn that off.
What was the one that he just did here in Georgia? I still haven't seen that one yet. You know, it kind of flopped, unfortunately.
Metropolis.
Metropolis, but apparently it's supposed to be
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Brian did not get it wrong.
I did not get it wrong.
You corrected yourself, and you got that
right.
Here. High five.
Didn't he buy an entire, like...
He bought a whole hotel and stuff.
Called it the Megalopolis Hotel or whatever.
Yeah, but apparently it's one of those movies that you'll watch in 20 years or something and then really
some people have said, wow, brilliant, right? Well, listen, a lot of people didn't get Apocalypse Now when it came out either, right? And now we think of it as one of the best movies ever made. But a lot of people thought it was just, you know, essentially Vietnam porn, right? They just thought it was just like a weird movie that had nothing. He was trying to make a point, but there was no point to it or whatever. Now I watch that movie and I am in awe
of
that movie every
it's
time
a great
I watch
movie.
It. Charlie Sheen is great. Anyway, who's the other one who just, who does all the gangster movies? Not Coppola.
Oh, sorry, God. Why am I blanking?
Why are we blanking?
Oh,
short
God.
Guy.
Yes, of course.
It's funny. He does the Rolling Stones movies, too.
I know.
Scorsese.
Thank God.
Okay. Scorsese.
Yeah.
Listen, we can go on and on with directors. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are fantastic. But I will say that I'm in on the Steven Spielberg. I'm in on the Disclosure Day. I just don't understand what the fuck it's about. Obviously, it's about the day of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about someone figures out that the government has been hiding and he has like proof of it and he's going to disclose it to someone. It looks like a weather lady for whatever reason.
I need to watch the trailer. I just read an article about it.
Yeah, watch the trailer. I can't explain it. I didn't understand it. So how can I explain it? It's all weird. Anyway, really good. And that just put a perfect cap on the day after we spent hours watching the Artemis II, the Orion, the Gemini capsule.
That was so cool yesterday. I was even walking around the house. I was doing stuff. I had the headphones in, listening to everything. And it was just so cool.
Quite
so
amazing.
Yes.
Quite amazing that that we've done this and that we have now traveled as far as humans will have ever traveled.
Found
two new craters all the way around the dark side of the moon.
Yep.
Something that we can never see that we don't, or we can't see with our naked eye anyway, that I'm sure that we've seen with other probes and stuff like that, but we've never seen. And just to listen to them describing what they were seeing the entire way was really,
it was so
really
bright. It was very, very bright.
The weird thing was, I was driving this morning. I got a cup of coffee at like 5 in the fucking morning. And I was coming home from coffee. And there it was, the half moon in the sky.
Aww.
You know, no light outside. You know, the city is dark. It's the best time to see the moon if you can catch it right before the sun comes up. And I'll tell you what, it just looked brilliant. It looked brilliant. And I don't know if that's because I was just looking at it a different way or because it was particularly brilliant. But it was just brilliant and made me think that there are people up there. Up there, all the way up there, out there. It looks like you could reach and grab it, but you know it's 250,000 miles away. That is insane that those people took that ride. And I hope they get home safely.
Yeah, and I guess they came within like 4,000 miles?
4,000 miles.
Yeah, of
that's
the
right.
moon.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, close-ish, I guess. Hey, listen, if I'm traveling around the moon, keep me out of the moon. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get sucked into that gravity. I just want to be slingshot around. I want to get home so I can take a shit in my own bathroom.
Right? The poor shitter still in the
working.
Yeah,
I know. The toilet's still, I know. I was listening yesterday on the radio. And
the toilet's still not working.
Yeah, they're like,
well, it was the first time they were attempting that, a space toilet. Normally, you just go in bags.
Gemini, this is Houston. Listen, we're now going to have a 1 hour and 15 minute no toilet break. It's perfect. It's scheduled. You're going to use your personal CACs.
Yeah, I was like, CACs? What are those? And CASs, whatever they were, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
it's a
cabin
bag.
Full of shit. It's a bag. And I thought to myself, Jesus fucking Christ, this has got to be a stinky minky up there right now. Like, you have no way to jettison the shit. And that's what they do. They jettison it. They just let it out. Let it go. I guess that's what you do, right?
Well, this is the first time they did the toilet.
Yeah, they used to just have a tube you stuck up your ass, I guess. Bags, yeah. They would go in, piss in a bag. But it's got to be a messy affair when you have no gravity. Ah, I just don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, you got
to
have containers.
I just hold it.
You would probably.
I would. I'd be shy. I bet part of the training, I would got to imagine, is learning how to poop in front of other people.
Well, that's true.
It's got to happen.
Well, there's probably a private space.
There is. It's a little door you can close. I saw it. Like, you go in there, it's a little door that you can close. But you still can see their head, you know?
Okay,
so I don't.
Yeah, that's got to be part of the training.
There's no gravity. I think it's going back up. I think it's going up.
Yeah.
I wonder if it vacuums like that one in the airplane. Like, it's got to do that. There's probably a couple days on training on that, I would imagine.
I think so.
Got to have shit training.
Yeah, you do.
Poop training.
Correct.
Okay. Now it's time for poop training. We're all going to stare at each other while we poop. Just to make sure we
can. Just get used to it.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You know, they cover all bases up there. I got to imagine there's just like a whole protocol about that in a training and a conversation that happens in the most, you know, professional astronaut way. And then I saw this. And maybe I'll get the video. We'll play it tomorrow. The black guy that's up there, I can't remember his name. I can't remember any of their names, to be honest with you.
Christine is the one, the woman. But.
Yeah, okay. All right, the black guy. Handsome dude. Handsome.
He is.
Stacked, built like a brick. You know, the guys.
Well, they've all got to be fit.
Yeah. I mean, fit, right? And he looks fit with a shirt on and a spacesuit on. So if you look fit with a spacesuit on, you can only imagine what you look like without the clothes on. So there he is in his little, you know, NASA shorts, little 3-inch seam NASA shorts. And he takes off his shirt, right, to go change shirts. I imagine, I don't know what he was doing, but he's floating around changing shirts. And it's like 3 a.m, and the people in, so there's one camera on Houston where there's a bunch of people watching all of, you know, watching and monitoring.
Yes.
Nothing's going on. Shifts. He's just changed. And then there's another camera of them inside the vehicle. And one of the girls, like the flight director, it's like, let's say his name is Jason.
Orion, this is Houston.
Yeah, go ahead, Houston.
We just want to let you know that the camera is streaming, Jason. If you, we cut off the stream just in case you did not want that to go out. We've cut off the stream, but we did capture,
your abs.
We did capture you. We all captured.
You've been captured.
Yes, I've captured. load of liquid in my panties. And we just wanted to let you know that. So let us know and we'll turn it back on.
And he goes,
yeah, it's all good.
It's good.
It's all good. I don't care. I don't mind.
That's what he said. He goes, I don't care, whatever. Yeah, if I looked that, I wouldn't care either.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
If I was built like that, fuck. I'd be walking around with my shirt off all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking for those sponsorship dollars after he gets down back from the moon.
True.
Yeah, he's going to be on the Wheaties box with his shirt off. The guy's handsome, got to tell you. I was like, wow. But just his response was like, told me everything I needed to know. Yeah, he said, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, whatever, let it rip. Let it rip.
Turn back on.
Taking my space undies off next. You thought that was impressive. Have you ever seen a weightless anaconda? Coming up next.
That's great.
The first space dick measuring contest. Oh, God. I wonder what Cindy Lou is doing up there or whatever her name is. Cynthia?
Christine? Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. She's, you know, good for her. Good for all of them. Congratulations.
Yes. No, it was a moment. I was watching it when they, you know, broke the record.
Yeah.
And they all hugged and they were crying and took a few moments to, like, really celebrate that.
Of course.
I was celebrating, too. I was like, yes.
You got to compose yourself. You got to understand your place in history now. You know, it'll be a small one when all's said and done. There's going to be people who actually go to the moon and then folks who go to Mars.
Yeah.
And it'll be a small one, but we've gone back, and they're very brave, and all the hundreds of thousands of people that put it all together, including one of our listeners who works down in NASA.
Right.
I don't know if I want to say his name, but anyway, you know, we know we have listeners that have been contributed to the space program in some way. I don't know if they worked on this. I think they did, but just a great accomplishment for the United States and a great accomplishment for all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And
humans.
We're doing it. Look at us. Pretty soon we'll be friends with space spiders.
Rock spiders.
Rock spiders. That's right. You know, and then, of course, Donald Trump's got to ruin everything by calling him up there and, you know, staying quiet for a minute. He doesn't even know how to work the phone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I can't even believe the headline's coming out. I guess we'll know tomorrow what happens tonight.
I got to be honest.
He's about to decimate a whole civilization.
I hope this is bluster. I really hope this is bluster, and or I hope there is someone or multiple people who are going to find their better angels in this situation. I mean, if he intends to really decimate an entire... It's the Persians. They're, like, responsible for humanity.
Yeah.
You can't just decimate them. You can take umbrage with their leadership and how they behave. And I agree that they're dangerous and that we got to put them in check somehow so that they don't get nuclear weapons. I agree with that. All of that. But this is out of control. It's spiraling out of control.
Really bad.
So quickly. And, you know... But luckily, we have cool heads at the top that are just like...
Hedge Seth?
Yeah. Thanks, Seth. Did you hear him fart the other day?
No,
did you see that?
God.
Look up Heg Seth fart. Funniest thing you've seen all week. Heg Seth press conference fart. At the commercial break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. You can watch us live as we stream 1 p.m. most days. And tcbpodcast.com. Free sticker, all the audio, all the video. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
And I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.